are here at the 2018 Sea Recovery Collections Academy in Bloomington, Minnesota. Look who I ran into, Mr. Ryan Foster.
Minnesota, finally. I'm from here.
Minnesota, yeah, you're local.
Yes, I am.
You know? My gosh, and the thing that I mean, I love coming to these conferences because you learn something new about everybody at some point or another, and the thing that I learned about you today is that you are an ocean rower.
I am an ocean rower. I tried to be an ocean rower once anyway.
The attempt.
Yes, I attempted to row across the Pacific Ocean.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's such a cool thing.
You know, it's not just about credit unions.
No, it's about pushing yourself and
yes.
doing some really cool stuff. So, talking about cool stuff, you gave a talk earlier. You were actually pinch hitting, like you said, for
Lauren. Yeah, Lauren Culp. She couldn't make it for our generational money chatter talk today, and so I got the privilege to be here in my hometown and talk about kind of generational money stuff mm-hmm. with the folks here, and really kind of dig into, you know, like what the differences are between the generations in respect to mm-hmm. how they grew up, mm-hmm. right? And then we did, of course, we're a research firm, and so, or a research think tank, and so we have actually done some research where we actually studied how the different generations talk online about finances.
Really?
And so we kind of layered with kind of how generations were brought up with how they're talking about finances today
mm-hmm.
to then kind of come together and say, okay, well, how should credit unions be talking to different segments of their membership what products should they be talking to them
mm-hmm,
about?
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good discussion.
Yeah, because you outlined it between the boomers, the Xers, the millennial, and now even Gen Z's out
right.
there. My gosh, there's like so many demographics.
Exactly,
now.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at it differently, aren't they?
Right, or? And the silent generation too. Yeah.
Who's the silent generation?
They're the ones before the boomers. I call them the first Gen Xers, where they're kind of in between these big generations.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right? And, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, and
me
we
too.
Have a complex about, you know, millennials and baby boomers are stuck in between.
I'm okay with that.
I'm all right.
Because we're kind of under the radar.
Yes,
I like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, so. Yeah. No one does presentations on Gen X.
Every time I hear Gen X, I think of the Billy Idol group when he first started was Generation X.
That's
that
right.
That was his first group.
That's right.
I always think about that. So I'm proud to say that
right.
I was part of that generation.
Right.
So.
I love it.
Stuck in the 80s. I'm sorry, but that's where we're here. So can you, what are a couple of takeaways that the audience will be able to take back to their credit unions and go, hey, look what I learned about multi-generation.
Right. Well, you know, like, we're Gen Xers, so I'll start with
sure.
that. You know, when we were growing up, Gen Xers were the first generation that grew up with divorce, right? And so a lot of parents split up.
Mm-hmm.
We also grew up with being latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that.
Actually, in second grade, I started getting off the bus and going home alone, you know, to a home and making myself something to eat after school. And that was the first, not only was that the first generation that did that, but I look at my kids now and I never would have done that when they were in second grade,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But we had to. Right, we had to at that time.
Yeah.
So there are these things that happened when we grew up that didn't happen in previous generations. And then when you look at Gen Xers now, when they talk about finances online, it's very neutral, right? Their finances are a means to an end. They're tools because they watch their parents,
yep.
right, have to do child support,
yep.
right? They watch their parents have to now pay for daycare,
mm-hmm.
right? They were working
mm-hmm.
to do things that they now had to do.
Right.
And so their tone is very neutral. Now you talk about millennials, right? Who have tons of student debt, right? They have tons of student debt,
mm-hmm.
right? And they grew up in a different time than we did. They've gone through the mortgage crisis, the Great Recession, right? And so they use words that are much more negative online when they talk about finances. They use the word about like slavery when they talk about finances,
really?
Right? Or they say
gosh.
Debt sentence. Right, when they talk about debt.
Because of their student loans?
Yes,
yeah.
because of their student loan
debt.
Repay
that thing.
Right,
yeah.
It's such a huge issue.
Well, and they're stuck because they can't get a mortgage. They can barely probably get an auto loan because they have this huge,
right.
massive balloon thing that they got to take care
right.
of.
Right, exactly.
So it's really hard for them to move on in life.
Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of credit unions, when they, number one, when they message their membership, a lot of credit unions don't think about it from a generational segmentation of should we be talking to generations differently when we talk to our members.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
was the conversation
okay.
today is
yeah.
if millennials think of finances and debt in a real negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, boomers actually think of finances and debt in a real positive way because they're going into retirement,
mm-hmm.
right? They see it as, you know what, if I need a loan, it's because I'm going to do something really fun
yeah,
right
exactly.
now, right? And so they're talking about it in a really
mindset.
Fun way. And
yeah.
so knowing that, you know, should we be talking to our membership in different ways and in different tones and with different language based on who you're talking to?
Mm-hmm. So do you have the millennials in the call center handling the millennial phone calls and the boomers in the call center handling the boomers calling in?
Or
how do you disseminate?
Yeah, or do you train your call center people differently so that when they know that they're talking to a 25-year-old, do they talk to that 25-year-old much differently than the 45-year-old?
Right. And they have that information on the screen.
Exactly. So they have it. Yeah. But I get the sense from the group that a lot of people in the room that I was just in, they don't do that. And, I'm not saying they should, but it's something to think about.
I would think so, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. Because they're so different. So why is this so important that we need to speak these different languages to the different generations? Why is it so important?
Well, the one thing that I really tried to drill down is common knowledge, is the average age of a credit union is 48.5 years old.
0.5,
just 48.5. Right. And it's getting older. Right. And if we want to get better at not only retaining the members that we have and really doing our due diligence from an organization standpoint with the members that we do have, from an attraction standpoint, we can get much better on how we talk to particularly the millennials and the Gen Zs and some of the younger Gen Xers and how we message them, not only to get them into the credit union from a business perspective for new members and products and services, but also from an attraction from a talent perspective.
I was thinking that too.
Right? Because this is a common theme that we all hear when we come to great conferences like this, is getting good quality people and retaining them is also something that is at the top of mind of credit unions. And if you can understand more effectively how to speak to each generation, you're going to do a better job of attracting and retaining them.
Right. I was thinking, and I've heard as well, probably through you guys, that when you hire the millennial folks, they're appreciated at work because it's a deeper meaning, all that good stuff, that they're gonna spread the word with their fellow millennials.
So
that's another way of kind of indirectly speaking to that generation.
Exactly. Millennials are huge on ratings. Right, online ratings.
Yeah.
Right, they all use Glassdoor. They all use Glassdoor, and they talk about their experiences when getting a job at a credit union or a bank or McDonald's, wherever.
Yeah.
They talk about it online.
Word spreads
fast.
Snapchat. Yep.
Exactly. Snapchat.
Got it. Any final words? What's the outlook here? Do you see for the rest of the year 2019, if there is one?
Yeah.
Or any final words of wisdom on this topic?
I'll just end it with, as two Gen Xers, right? And you sat in there with me. We started out with kind of all of the stereotypes and biases that we have around millennials. And there are a lot of them, right? But quite frankly, that's the same thing they talked about us when we were coming out of college. We were lazy. Right. And we weren't going to amount to anything. And now we're doing just fine.
Yeah,
right. And so a lot of the conversation we had was take all those stereotypes and biases and leave them at the door, because we're just going to use data. And the data says that a lot of those stereotypes just aren't true.
Right.
And the ones that might be true are true because we taught that to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not that fault.
Right.
It's not their fault. All you can do is understand them better and talk to them in their language.
Mm-hmm. And we grow up too.
Exactly.
We're not knuckleheads forever,
Well, eventually.
I'm not going to speak for myself.
Eventually.
We grow up eventually. Very cool stuff. Ryan,
awesome.
Thank you so much
Absolutely.
For hanging out. Love this information, and good job in there. And tell Lauren to get better, all right?
I will get better, Lauren.
All right.